or subject is. When? You know, we always ask the question when, as it relates to time. When did this happen? When did you go there? When was that told to you? And so as we contemplate the message tonight, when? Every individual is a soul. You can be saved or lost. You have a case pending at the bar of God. You must meet the great judge face to face alone. So let us just change one word. I. Go I. So we're going to just read, I am a soul. Come on, our church. I am a soul. I can be lost or I can be saved or lost. I have a case pending at the bar of God. I must meet the great judge face to face alone. Think about that for a moment. I must face the great judge alone. Face to face and alone. As we consider the matter of judgment, every Jamaican that I used to know when I was growing up was afraid of courthouse. If that is true, church, say amen. We didn't like courthouse. When we heard about courthouse, we just squirmed and quail up. But the laws of the land have effect as they are applied to the judgments of the court. And when we go awry, when we do things which are contrary to the law of the land, we are brought before the court so that justice can be meted out. In our courts, we are careful to ensure that impartiality exists in the court, that we have good representation from lawyers, and that the judge is not one who is curry favor. Are we together, church? And so much so that as we come in the year 2008 to a point when we have to contemplate the implications not of just the Supreme Court that is downtown, but the real Supreme Court of the universe where God administers justice. And so tonight, the Bible says, 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but all the men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Hebrews picks this thing up and makes this statement. Paul said, Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, read church. But after this, what, church? The judgment. So this message tonight is not just to be looked at by church members. We have been in a church for so many years. We know what the investigative judgment is all about. We know the sanctuary message. Unless we come to the place where we internalize the real meaning of the judgment scenario, we may find ourselves outside. It is pointless for us to know the truth of the judgment, our message. And we are not living according to the dictates of Scripture. It is pointless just calling a meeting like this, presenting a message, so that others may know about the judgment and we lose the importance of the judgment to our own lives. Judgment is something we need to contemplate. So the book of Daniel picks up the scenario. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Read, church. The court was seated, and the books were open. The Bible continues. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So we know that the judgment is set in the backdrop of the sanctuary. When we study the blueprint of salvation, we heard the verse which said, thy way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary. So God calls this judgment setting, and it is in the sanctuary. Not the sanctuary which was on earth, because that is no more being used, but the original. And as we consider our high priest in heaven, petitioning the throne of the universe, talking to his Father on whose behalf, church, why is he doing this? Because I'm the apple of his eye, and it's not his intention that anyone should perish. The book of Revelation picks up the judgment scene. It says, Revelation 20 verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is what, church? The book of life. It continues, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. We have to know that everything that we have ever done or said or thought to do, our motives are recorded in the books of heaven. Whose record is there, church? I love that. Whose record is there, church? My record. And unlike having a friend on earth, and when we do something wrong and the record is there, our friend can rub it out and put in something else. I want you to know that when you were born, God assigned a guardian angel to each person. And wherever you went, wherever you are going, wherever you will go, whatever you say or do, your angel is writing down every single thing. So the accuracy of these books cannot be questioned, because God is a God of justice and truth. So the Bible tells us that as this angel writes, if we were conscious of the fact that the angel is making the record straight, we would walk on chalk line. So what are the bases on which the judgment will be administered? Ecclesiastes 12 verse 14 says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Whose secret? Whether it is good or bad. God will bring it into our church, the judgment. So we'll be judged by the works that we do. Then the Bible says in Matthew 12, verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of what, church? Every idle word. Now, God is not asking us to walk around with long face and can't relax around each other and share pleasantries. But sometimes, the things we say, were we cognizant of the fact that these things are gonna come back to face me in the judgment, I would keep my mouth shut. Idle words, idle jesting. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then the Bible tells us that we'll be judged according to the way we use our time. Every single person has the same number of hours and minutes and seconds in the same day. So what are we doing with our time? According to Acts 17:21, the people at Thessalonica, all they wanted to do was chat. Philosophies, exchanging information that they heard, idly passing their time, not knowing that the hour is late. Then we'll also be judged based on the ability, the talent, and the skill which the Lord has given to you and to me. God is saying, all knowledge is mine. All skill and ability and talents come from me. I have given them to you for my glory. I've given them to you to use, to bring honor and glory to my name, to share with men and women in a lost and dying world. So whether you are at work, whether you are at school, whether you are at play, in the community, in the home, whatever that we are doing, we must find time to share the gospel, because God gave us certain abilities which only we can use to win someone for Jesus. So the most important thing is not your job. The most important thing is to use whatever influence, ability, talent, skill you have to bring someone to the knowledge of God. Are you hearing me, church? Then, according to Daniel 1 verse 4, you can read that there. Then the Bible wants us to know that we'll be judged according to the way we use our resources. We have money. We have possessions. We refuse to use our resources for the promulgation, for the spreading of God's word. We are more interested to buy things which will bring us pleasure than using the resources to beef up the ability of the church to help people in the community. So if we are not using our money and our influence to help the church, to minister to the needs of the poor, what are we using our money to do? God will call us, according to Deuteronomy 16 verse 17, that the Lord who blesses us expects us to use our resources in his work. Romans 14 verse 12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. What are you saying, preacher? I have to give account alone? Can't my mother come with me? What's the answer, church? Can't my father come with me? And the standard which will be used in the judgment is the law of God. Just as in our courts, it is the laws of the land which are used to determine the verdict in the case. It is the constitution of heaven, the law of God, which will be used as the standard for the judgment. And that is why the devil wants us to think that God's law is no longer binding, that God's law is done away with. All the devil wants us to do is to break God's law, commit sin, and do not ask for forgiveness. Because the law is no longer binding, people do not see the need to ask for God's forgiveness. Are you hearing me, church? So it is the standard in the judgment. James says, so speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. It is not a yoke, because when we do not break the law, we are not under the law. We are free from the consequences of breaking the law. It is the law of liberty. The Bible wants us to remember that God's words are forever settled in heaven. And that's the standard by which you and I will be, what, church? Judged. God is not using something that we are not aware of. So the Bible tells us in Revelation 11 verse 19, and the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings. God's law is actually a transcript of God's character. And people who want to be like God must be able, by God's grace, to be transformed into the image of God. People who love God so much that would rather die than sin. Are you hearing me, church? There's coming a time when God's people must prefer to die than to commit one sin. And so 1 John 2 verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you what? Sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So while God's judgment is in train, people who sin still can be forgiven. But a time is coming when the judgment will be complete. And who no vi no va. Acts 17:31 says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And so Jesus is my mediator in the heavenly sanctuary tonight. But a day is coming when Jesus will shut down the mediation. Are you hearing me, church? Revelation 14 verse 6, putting it into context, says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. When I used to attend the Sunday church, and I'm not quarreling with them, I was led to believe that when God comes back the next time, that is judgment day. That is wrong. Judgment must first be held in heaven so that when God comes, he can give reward. So let us look at what the cleansing of the sanctuary really means. We studied it last week. In the daily, we had the sinner bringing the animal, and you know the confession process. The ordinary priest would minister in the holy place, every day for the year. But on the Day of Atonement, the Old Testament sacrifices pointed to Jesus' sacrifice. But the Day of Atonement was the 10th day of the 7th month. It was done once per year where the high priest ministered. And we remember that the Day of Atonement was a mini judgment day. The Jews call it Yom Kippur even to this day, judgment. So the sanctuary service actually was explaining how God would deal with which problem, church? The sin problem. The high priest, having made a sacrifice for himself, took the blood of the Lord's goat into the most holy place, and symbolically, as he sprinkled the blood 7 times on the ark, the sins of God's people were removed from the sanctuary. This is a picture, a miniature picture of what God is doing, removing the record of our sins from the books of heaven. So Joel, in Joel 2 verse 1 says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." God's judgment is going on now. On the 10th of the 7th month, we just said that you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all. While the high priest was in the most holy place, the nation of Israel was gathered around the sanctuary, confessing their sins, making it right, having a little talk with Jesus, making it right. "For on that day the priest shall make an atonement for you to cleanse you." This high priest on earth was a figure of the real high priest. What is his name, church? Jesus Christ. "That you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord." The Lord's intention is to rid me and you of our sins and from our sins. There must come a time when he removes the records of sin from the most holy place in heaven. We're talking about a solemn thing tonight. You and I have to understand what this means to our eternal destiny. If we don't understand it and miss the meaning, we will find ourselves on the wrong side. The cleansing of the sanctuary represents what, church? The final judgment. So let us try to fix whether or not the Bible has told us when this judgment actually began. Because Revelation says the hour of his judgment is come. Daniel 8:13. "Then I heard one saint speaking, another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice?" What is the answer, church? "For 2,300 days. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." Are we together so far, church? Yes. All right. What is the meaning of these 2,300 days? Daniel 8:16. "Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So he came near where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face. But he said to me, Understand, son of man, that the vision refers when to when, church? To the time of the end. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I'm come to show thee. For thou art greatly beloved," church. We serve a God who loves us greatly. "Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. The Bible had told us before, surely the Lord doeth nothing unless he reveals it to his servants who church the prophets." God wants his people to know why. I have laid on you. Remember last night? A few nights ago, Sunday night rather, we looked at the day-to-year principle. A day in prophecy really signifies a year. That's Ezekiel 4:6. I've laid on you a day for each year. 2,300 days then will mean what, church? 2,300 years. Are we together so far? All right. So let us look at this 2,300 day prophecy and see when it began and when it will expire. Because at the end of the 2,300 days or years, that's when the judgment will or would have begun. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. 70 weeks, 70 times 7, 490 days, or what? I have laid upon you a day for a year, so 490 days equals what, church? 490 years. So we put it there. It says 70 weeks, so we are taking 70 weeks or 490 years from the 2,300 years. Are we together still? So we have left 1,810 of the 2,300. But the Bible says, I want you to know when the prophecy will begin to run. Isn't that true, church? Because if you give me a time and you don't tell me when, I don't know how to deal with it. So the Bible says, know therefore and understand, read with me now, church, that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem, until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, making a total of what? 69 weeks. But the Bible says, as we look at the fact that the decree would come, we have to go now to history. So history tells us, what is it that is concerned with the rebuilding? When the children of Israel were taken to Babylon, and the Medes and the Persians overthrew the Babylonians, they set the Israelites free and told them they could go back home. No war was fought. They just released God's people. There were three decrees which brought the liberation into effect. And the last one was in 457 BC. And BC means what, church? Before Christ. Are we still together? So the starting point of the 2,300 days or years would be 457 BC. That's the starting point. Then, as we come a little more, the Bible says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, making a total of 69 weeks. How many weeks were originally cut off? 70. So when we start at 457 BC, 69 weeks or 483 years would take us to Messiah. Read that, church. The word Messiah means the anointed one. Jesus is known as the Messiah. When was Jesus anointed? When did Jesus begin his work as the Messiah? So we'll show you. Luke chapter 3 gives us the picture. Luke 3 verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, we know from history that Tiberius Caesar started to reign when, church? 12 AD. So in the 15th year of his reign, add that please, Sister John. What do we get, church? 27 AD. So the Messiah would appear not as a baby, but ready to take up the ministry of Messiah, anointed one. So the Messiah would appear on the scene. What year, church? 27 AD. If this is clear so far, say amen. So the Bible picks it up in the same Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Read now, church. Now, when the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized. And the Bible says, the voice came down from heaven saying what? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, lighted on Jesus, anointing him as what, church? The Messiah. Which year was it? 27 AD. If this is clear, say amen. 70 weeks to the Messiah. I have laid on you a day for each year. So we're going to put up something else on the screen now. So the 490 years, we're magnifying the 490 years for us to see what happened. The decree was when, read with me, church, 457 BC. 483 years after that, we would come to the time when the Messiah would appear. And that is 27 AD. So Jesus took up his appointment as the Messiah, which year, church? 27 AD. Now, I want to just stop for a moment, because there is a teaching out there that when the Antichrist comes, the Antichrist will be revealed and there will be a 7-year tribulation. Have you ever heard that teaching? Well, I'm going to explain this to you tonight so you know that that teaching is not biblical. 483 years would take us to Messiah. In the year, what, church? 27 AD, Jesus was anointed as the what, church? The Messiah. But the figure that was originally cut off was 490, making a difference of how many years? 7 years. The Bible is going to explain what the 7 years that are left, what would happen during that time. So I'm going to repeat Daniel 9:26. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. Shall be what, church? Cut off. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for how long? 1 week. 1 week has how many days? And 7 days make what, church? 7 years. Are we together so far? So that is why when they say that Antichrist will come and there'll be a 7-year tribulation, they are applying the scripture in an incorrect way. Because that 7-year period is still to be taken off. The Bible says during the next 7 years, read now, church, but in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offerings. What sacrifice are we talking about? The killing of lambs and rams. Are we together, church? And that's why the Bible tells us that Jesus nailed these things to his cross. There's one prophetic week left, or 7 literal years in the prophecy. So let us look at what happened in the 7 years. What is half of 7, church? 3.5. 3.5 years from the fall of AD 27 leads us to the spring of AD 31. So let us put it up now. What happened in AD 27? Jesus was anointed as the Messiah. The prophecy says he would confirm the covenant for 1 week, and in the middle of the week you'd be cut off. Meaning, what do you think cut off mean, church? That he would die. So in AD 31, 3.5 years after, on the 14th day of Nisan, Jesus was crucified. Jesus was crucified, what, church? Exactly on time. Is the Bible true?
Yes.
You're not sure.
Yes.
Is the Bible clear?
Yes.
Does God reveal his secrets to his servants? Why does God want you and I to know? Because it has eternal consequences. You and I, have to understand that this thing, when Jesus was being crucified, the temple veil, which was 6 inches thick, was rent in twain, signifying that the earthly sanctuary, the ministration in the earthly sanctuary, was now complete. No more need to sacrifice any lambs, rams, and bullock, because behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh the sins of the world, was dying on Calvary's tree. Who was Jesus dying for, church? For me. Because when he was on the cross that day, you and I were on his mind. But 3.5 years are still left. Now there's something significant which happened 3.5 years after, which takes us to 34 AD. It was during that year that the Bible tells us the apostles were preaching, and there was rift between the Jews and the Gentiles. So the apostles say, you know what? We can't put aside the preaching to go serve tables. Appoint you 7 men. Men who know the word. Men who are diligent. Men who are upright to serve as deacons. One of these deacons was Stephen. And when Stephen started, full of the Holy Spirit, to preach the word, Stephen was persecuted in the year 34 AD. This thing happened. And they took Stephen outside. And while they were stoning Stephen, somebody whose name was Saul of Tarsus was holding the clothes of those who were stoning Stephen. The Bible says, Stephen saw heaven open, and Stephen said, lay not this sin to their charge. Probation for the Jewish nation as a whole expired in 34 AD. Because Jesus the Messiah was anointed in 27 AD, and he would have confirmed the covenant with many for 1 week. If you read your Bible and you come to Matthew 10, the Bible says Jesus sent out his disciples 2 by 2, and he said to them, go not to anywhere else but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He knew that he was supposed to confirm the covenant with them. As a matter of fact, Daniel has said, the Lord gave them the time to put an end to sin, to usher in everlasting righteousness, and to anoint the Most Holy. The Jewish nation failed in its mission. And as a result, the gospel went to the Gentiles in 34 AD. It was in 34 AD that Saul was met on Damascus Road, and the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard to kick against the pricks. And Saul said, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Bible tells me that Jesus told Saul to go down to a street called Straight, and he was straightened out and sent in all through the New Testament books of that Saul wrote. Paul says, I am the missionary to the Gentiles. It's another sermon which we'll preach if you allow me. So let us go back now. We have accounted for 490 years. So 1810 years are left. So we add 34 AD to 1810, and what do we come to? Read in a church. You see it on the screen, you know. 1844. The Bible says the sanctuary would be cleansed after 2,300 days. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. The cleansing of the sanctuary is judgment day. Let me say it again. The cleansing of the sanctuary is really judgment day. We call it the investigative judgment. And let me show you why now. 1844, as a matter of fact, it was the 22nd of October in 1844. cleansing of the sanctuary, or judgment. When we sin, our names are written where, church? You're afraid to talk to me. What? Talk to me, man. When we sin, our names are written where? In the book of death. Why? Romans says, for the wages of sin is death. Do you see how the Bible is sweet, church? Talk to me now, man. You see how the Bible is sweet? You just study the word. The Bible says, what? For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So as we look at this, the Bible is telling you and I that when we sin, our names are in the book of death. But I'm glad, the Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin, not in their sin, but from their sin. So when we give our lives to God, when we make a decision, when we say, Lord, I'm sick and tired of the sin that I'm committing. Please forgive me. I want you to clean me up. I want to be a member of your church. And I'm baptized. The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. So when you make that decision for Jesus, your name is transferred from the book of death to the book of, we're not saying amen, you don't like it. You don't like it at all. You want your name stay in the book of death. So anybody who does not give his or her life to Jesus, your name is written down in the book of death. And we're not talking about ordinary dead either. Because there is a first death and a second death. Soon come to another sermon which will deal with that. So when I sin, my name is where, church? In the book of death. When I give my life to Jesus after confessing my sins, my name is transferred to what, church? The book of life. Where is your name tonight? You know. And I know. And that is the meat of the subject tonight. For you and I to know that every pot gonna sit down on its own bottom. We can fool some of the people some of the time, but we can't fool all the people all the time. And we certainly cannot fool God. So God is saying, the judgment is going on. It's time for you to shape up. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins, what, church, may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. It is in the judgment that the Lord will blot out whose sins? My sins. Why? Because I'm the apple of his eye. But if I profess to be Christian and only warm in bench, dog damn me supper. So this message is not fit for them who come to hear. It's for everybody under the tent, because the judgment is going to affect your and my eternal destiny. For the time has come. God actually is telling us now where the judgment actually begins. The class of people. Read it, church. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of, we are church, at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? What the Bible is saying, it is only those who have made their call and election sure. Your records and mine are being examined from Adam and Eve day right down. And the only names that are being called in this phase of the judgment are those who gave their lives to God. So giving the life is not enough, because one save is not always saved. Because once the dog go back to his own vomit, I serve him. No one save, always save. It is based on the record that your recording angel, my guardian angel, writes down. So God is saying, yes, these people draw near to me with their mouth. Listen to what the scripture is saying and internalize it, because it is for you and for me tonight. Preacher not better than congregation, because we all must appear before the judgment bar of God. I'm only the mouthpiece. And so when you read in Revelation chapter 7, where the Bible says, do not hurt the earth, the sea, or the trees, read church, till we have sealed the servants of our God. Where? Next week, we're going to talk about the seal of God. But God is saying, when the judgment is there, you and I do not have to appear physically before God, because everything about us God knows, and it is written in the book. So when the book is taken up and the name Noel Jump comes up and God sees the mistakes that I've made and I acknowledge them and I ask forgiveness, and Jesus writes, forgiven, and my name is called in the judgment, because I know Jesus and Jesus knows me. Jesus stand up for me and say, my Father, I plead my blood for Noel Jump. I want him in my kingdom. He has been a good servant. But if I was not a good servant, the Bible says Jesus going to turn his back and say, depart from me, I never knew you. First John 1, 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, does what? Cleanses us from some of our sins. All our sins. It continues in 1 John 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It continues. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're not saying amen, church. You see, we love the unrighteousness so much that we'll hug up the thing and say, all when God won't cleanse me, I say, all right, Lord, take everything, but give me this one. I want this one, man. I can't give up this one. All unrighteousness must go. It is in the judgment that God finally deals with the sin problem. God wants to find every reason to save you. God wants to find every reason to save me. God is not here trying to find every reason to burn you up. God has made enough provision to save you and I. So Jeremiah 31, 34 puts it this way. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. It is in the judgment that God forgets our sins. Micah 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? He retaineth not his anger forever. Why? Because he delighteth in mercy. Church, you're not saying amen. You and I know how wicked we are, but we serve a God who delights in mercy. But a time is coming when the mercy thing have to put on one side and God have to say, end of story. The Bible says he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. You notice how many times the God is talking about removing iniquity, forgiving iniquity, subdue iniquity. In who is iniquity found? In me. So in the judgment, God wants to remove it. And that's when in the book of Revelation, the Bible says, it talks about the God's people being virgins without guile in their mouths. You want to hear a message on the 144,000. Micah chapter 7 verse 19 says, thou wilt cast what? All their sins into the depths of the sea. Don't you want to be separated from your sin and nobody can point you out and say, you are a thief. You used to tell lies. You are an adulterer. You are a Sabbath breaker. You are somebody who dishonored your parents. We want to be rid of it. And that's why the songwriter said, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood of Jesus. When Jesus has considered all the cases of the people who have given him their lives from the beginning of time to now, the names of those who never gave their lives to Jesus will not even come up in this part of the judgment. Let me repeat it now because it's a hard statement. God started the judgment in 1844, and the people whose records are being investigated are those who have given their lives to him from Adam coming down. But people who have died and gone to a priceless grave, their name will not come up in this phase of the judgment. What up? Seems as if the battery is going or something, or is it feeding? These are on. Can you turn them off, please? Thank you. What we're saying is that if you have never given your life to the Lord, your name will not be called in this phase of the judgment. I don't want to trivialize what I'm saying, but there's an expression: if you don't have a ticket, you don't have a chance. If your name was never written down as being a servant of God, your name will not be called in this phase of the judgment. There's another phase of the judgment which will take place when God's people get to heaven. They are going to sit with Jesus and judge the lost. But that's another story, another sermon. What I want to tell you tonight is simply this: that when Jesus has considered, thank you, sir, when Jesus has considered all the names of all the people who have been calling themselves Christian, a time is gonna come when he has to start judging those who are living. The judgment of the living is tied up with a particular commandment in the tent, and it will be used as a test. Do you remember on the plains of Dura when Nebuchadnezzar made the golden image and called everybody to bow down? He wanted them to bow down to a golden image. The Bible said, "Thou shalt not make any graven image nor bow down thyself to it." That was a test which Nebuchadnezzar put up using one of God's commandments. The judgment of the living is tied up in the last days with how we deal with one of God's commandments. When a particular law is passed compelling people to worship on a certain day, the judgment of the living will begin. And those who choose to worship the way God wants will be sealed for God. Those who choose to worship the way man wants, they'll be sealed. When every decision has been made, every person on earth who has ever lived, their records are already dealt with. Every man who is alive, man, woman, boy and girl is alive. When you make that decision, your name is put down one place, for God or against God. God's people who are alive will be sealed. The records of their sins in heaven will be wiped out. Are you hearing me, church? But I want to explain something to you. The records that are in heaven have a duplicate, and the duplicate is in your brain. Every sin that we have committed has been recorded in our brains. It's just that we can't remember them. But when God deals with our sins in the heavenly sanctuary and wipes them out of the records of heaven, he's going to wipe out the very records of sin from the people who are alive and belong to him. We will not even remember what sin we have committed. That's another sermon. When that is done, the Bible tells me that probation's door will be closed. Whose probation? No, something strange happens next. Turn, Sister John. Revelation 15, verse 8 puts it this way. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter the temple. Why? Because the judgment is finished. Investigative judgment is finished. And Jesus gets up from being the mediator. Jesus comes out of the heavenly sanctuary. Therefore, no more sins can be forgiven. And a decree goes out, found in Revelation 16, verse 17. It is done. Revelation 22:11 puts it this way. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Church, talk to God tonight. Lord Jesus, thank you. Because I know that with you, you can make me righteous. You can make me holy. Jesus comes out of the heavenly sanctuary, the most holy place. And you remember when we looked at the blueprint of salvation. When the high priest came out of the most holy place, he laid the sins of Israel on Azazel. All of God's people who are saved, our sins are now placed on Satan. And the Bible says, and there shall be a time of trouble. Daniel 12 verse 1. Such as there never was since there was a nation. God's people will be persecuted. But I'm here to tell you something tonight. When Jesus finishes mediating in the sanctuary, he takes off his priestly robe and he put on warrior clothes. Because the devil realized that him goose cook. The devil is going to cause persecution to come upon God's people. And there will be a time of trouble. Man going to run and hide. People who you used to love going to persecute you and vice versa. But I'm here to tell you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. My Jesus will stand up for you and fight for you. My Jesus said, don't worry yourself. Your bread and water shall be sure. Because Michael, at that time, Michael shall stand up. And Michael will use all the resources of heaven. All the resources of heaven to protect his own. As I close tonight. In Noah's day, Noah preached 120 years. Probation for the antediluvian world was wide open. But the day that Noah went into the ark and the door was closed, probation for the antediluvians finished. Question to the church tonight. Did those people know?
Yes.
No, sir. Never knew. The people outside the ark never knew that their probation was closed. So when God's judgment is finished in heaven, there are going to be people on earth who are walking dead. Living dead. Dopey. Can't save. Because their probation closed. Watch this. Noah spent everything that he had to build the ark. Noah spent his time, his resources. He put in the work and he preached. Do you remember how we're going to be judged, church? By our words, our works, or we use our resources and our time. Lord have mercy. Noah used all of them. Put it in the ark. And the things that really mattered to Noah, his wife and his children and their wives went into the ark with Noah. Every single thing that Noah had was in the ark. Whether by way of resources or time, making the ark, or his family, they were inside the ark. The people who would not listen to Noah were outside. Presumably, they were saving for a rainy day. But when the rainy day come, them get locked out and they lose. Don't allow this to happen to you. When you die, your probation is closed. You and I must come to Jesus while there is time. And the Bible tells me, Jesus says, today is a day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Last night we saw where the fish and the bird end up in a net or in a snare, not knowing the time. Men will be in the same position, outside, persecuting God's people and telling us that it is God's people that are causing the natural disasters and the terrible things that are happening on earth. Persecuting God's people, and their probation is closed. What about your probation tonight? The fact that you're here listening to this word tells me that our probation is still open. But some of us have not made our decision. After the persecution is finished, the Bible says, and behold, I come quickly. Read some in our church. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So that's why the judgment comes and then the reward. See, that's why when Jesus comes, it's not judgment day. It is the execution of the sentence. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. He that hath the Son, go to the song, mommy. He that hath the Son hath life. Do you have the Son tonight? If you do not have the Son, you do not have life. The life that God is talking about is eternal life. Which one do you want? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Only you can answer that question. Have you given your all to Jesus? Angelia is going to lead us into a song. It's on the screen. Pay attention to the words.
Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom, with its pages so fair, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written?
Join in the chorus, please, church.
Is my name written there on the page white and fair in the book of thy kingdom? Is my name written there? Lord, my sins, they are many, like the sands of the sea. But thy blood, O my Savior, is sufficient for me. For thy promise is written in bright letters that glow. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them like snow. Is my name written there on the page white and fair in the book of thy kingdom? Is my name written there? Oh, that beautiful city with its mansions of light, with its glorified beings in pure garments of white, where no evil thing cometh to despile what is fair, where the angels are watching, is my name written there? Is my name written there on the page white and fair in the book of thy kingdom? Is my name written there? Is my name written there on the page white and fair in the book of thy kingdom? Is my name written there?
You have seen the words of the song. You have heard them. And the last question in the chorus, is my name written there? What is your position tonight? You know that your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know that you are in need of a Savior. As you sit in your seats tonight, this tent was pitched here to help you, to share the everlasting gospel with you, so that you can know that there is a heaven to win. And you want to make it to the celestial city by the grace of God. And you want to make it right with God tonight. As Angelia sings the chorus again, you want to make it right with Jesus. Two things I want you to do. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Our Bible instructors will bring a card to you. You write your name, your address, your telephone number. And there are some options there. Pray for me. Pray for and visit me. I want to have Bible study. I want to give Jesus my life. Tick the option. Ushers, please come forward. Tick the
option.
We'd like to raise those hands tonight. Is my name written
on
there?
On the page white and fair.
Raise those hands for Jesus
in
tonight.
In the book of thy kingdom.
Is my name written there?
Is my name written there? Is my name written there?
On the page white and fair.
On the page white and fair.
In the book.
In the book of thy
raise those hands
kingdom,
for Jesus tonight. Where is your name?
Is my name?
Is your name written,
written there?
Is my name
no,
written
I
there?
Cannot for riches.
Raise those hands for Jesus tonight. Your eternal salvation
sure
is what we're talking
heaven,
about.
I would enter the fold
in the book of thy kingdom.
The book of
you want your name to be written
kingdom,
in God's book tonight.
With its
raise your hands.
So
ask
fair,
for a card.
Tell me, Jesus.
These meetings have been set
Savior,
to help you into God's kingdom.
Is my name written there?
Is my name written there?
Is my name written there?
On the page white and fair.
On the page white and fair.
Tell me, Jesus,
in
Master.
The book of
tell me, Jesus.
Thy kingdom.
Is my name written there?
Is my name written there?
Raise those hands for Jesus
Lord,
tonight.
My sins, they
your
are
sins and
many,
mine are so many,
like
the sands of the sea.
Over the sea. But thy blood, oh my Savior,
raise those hands so our Bible instructors and ushers can see you.
Me. For thy promise is written in bright letters, but though your sins be as scarlet,
I will make them like snow.
I will make them.
Come on, church,
like
join in the chorus, please.
Is my name written there?
Is my name written there?
On the page, white and fair.
In the book of thy kingdom.
Thy kingdom.
Is my name written there?
Is my name written there?
Let us stand as we sing the last stanza.
Oh, that beautiful,
city.
With its mansions of
light. Come on, church, sing the song, please.
With its glorified beings.
In pure garments of white.
In pure garments of white.
Where no evil thing cometh.
Where no evil thing cometh.
To despoil what is fair.
Is fair.
Where the angels are watching. Is my name written there?
Is my name written there?
Come on, church.
Is my name written there? Written there?
On the page, white and fair.
On the page, white and fair.
In the book of thy kingdom.
Is my name written there?
Not too late for you to raise your hand. Raise your hand tonight for Jesus.
On the page,
Lord, I want to be in your kingdom. Is my name written there?
In the book of thy kingdom.
Is my name?
Is my name written there?
There are those of us under the tent tonight. You have heard this message and the Holy Spirit has attended the message and you understand it. And you know within your heart of hearts where you are standing. It is time to make it right with God. This message was not sent to make you feel bad. This message was sent for you to know that there is hope. Probation's door is still open. And you are afraid to raise your hand. You are afraid to write your name, saying, I want my name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do not harden your heart. Do not allow the devil to chain you with the circumstances which face you. Allow God to break down those chains, those barriers. Because Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
Would you raise those hands for Jesus tonight? Why are you afraid to give him your life? Are you timid and fearful when Jesus has done everything for you? And I want to explain something to you. If there's anyone under this tent tonight who during the time of trouble and you were not among God's people, these words uttered under this tent tonight will come back to your mind.
Yes.
You're going to remember under this tent. You're going to remember the song, Is My Name Written There? And what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose your soul? Or what will you give in exchange for your soul? Think about your eternal salvation tonight. I can't ask you more pointedly than I have. Will you give your life to Jesus? Will you ask him into your life to change you so that at the time of refreshing, your sins will be blotted out and you can stand knowing that you are going to heaven. In the book of thy kingdom, Lord, is my name written there, Pastor?
We're going to pray. to pray for us.
Father in heaven, your words have gone forth this evening once more. You said that your word will not go void, but will go forth and do its work. We hope tonight that as your word go forth, it will take lodgment in hearts, that men and women, boys and girls will realize that the judgment is set and the book has been opened, and the only hope for us all is to be obedient to your principle. So put it in us to do so, especially those of our visiting guests from other churches and other parts of the community who have not understand and know your will. We hope that this evening, the message that has gone forth to them, they will realize and know and understand and turn from the evil way and obey your principle before it is eternally too late. Some may be breaking the Sabbath, some may be doing other things, but you know it all. Have mercy upon them and help that their probation will not close before they turn over their life to you completely. So be with them now in a special way as they leave this place. The call has made, none have come forward, but we know that they are in the congregation. We ask that you will touch their hearts, that as they go from here to their home, their conscience will be worried and they will turn over their life to you before it is eternally too late. So have your own way in everyone's lives here today. And as we leave, may your Holy Spirit go with us. Bring us back by your grace to tomorrow evening when we'll hear another dropping of your word. Guide and protect us as we go, and may nothing befall us. But if anything do befall us, may all be well with our souls. We pray and give you thanks in Jesus' name.